How are you? Happy? Happy to be back. So, Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be amongst you and see the sweet smiling face of our Maharaj, who is such a good kirtan devotee and extremely enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. I will be discussing today a subject matter called the psychology of the self. It will be a little bit, well, we have to see how, what type of audience you are, but I have delivered this lecture in the University of Manipal near Udupi and thought I would also give it this evening. But because you are students who are more in Krishna consciousness, and we have also devotees here who live in the temple, I will not give it so abstract, but a little practical. We will be discussing today how we can overcome our greatest enemy, and we will get a few tips for improving our spiritual lives. So, before I start, I will sing with you Jai Radha Madhava, and then go to the discussion. But I need the Bhagavad Gita, really. Or did we bring it? It is here. Very good. Can accompany me on the harmonium. I'm seeing the harmonium is here, but I think we will start already, because sometimes it takes very long before we can find a devotee. This is my experience in life.
La la la.
Charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samavita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which is the second of the two Gitas which Lord Krishna has sung. Uddhava, his student, asks a question which is very relevant for our discussion. He asks, everyone wants to suffer. And no one wants to, no, everyone wants to enjoy Hare Krishna. And no one wants to suffer. At the same time, we always see that human beings, by their activities, bring themselves into suffering. No one, not even the dog or the donkey, wants to lead a life full of misery. Everyone knows that acting in the mode of Rajagun and Tamagun brings us to misery. Why do people not avoid these activities which bring suffering? But why do they always engage in activities which are suffering, full of suffering? Do you think this is a good question? Have you yourself noticed in your life how much knowledge you have heard already? Shambhu, your knowledge which you have already in your mind is sufficient to bring you back home, back to Godhead. Jiva Goswami, your knowledge which you have heard, it's maybe worth a few thousand hours of good lectures, can liberate you from the ocean of samsara. Parijata, your information which you have can bring you back to Godhead. So the question which Uddhava raises is, although we as your devotees have heard so many things, still we sometimes come into a situation of extreme misery. Do you sometimes suffer? Yes. So, Lord Krishna says, listen very carefully what I will now explain to you. If you understand this knowledge, you will avoid all types of miseries. And he begins to analyze practical spiritual psychology. He says, my dear Uddhava, your question is very worthy. No one wants to suffer. the soul is free from suffering, it is eternally blissful, but by its activity it brings itself into untold miseries. Do you know what is the reason? And then he gives the answers. First, the soul identifies with the body and with the mind. And the moment it is identifying and coming close to the body and the mind, it is overwhelmed by material desires. The moment material desires are in the heart, the mode of Raja and Tama drag the soul to the material existence, where misery waits. I want to give you an example, because now it's a little late and our minds may not function in abstract philosophy. We need something concrete. Do you know how to capture a fox? You just put a fox, which you have made with a saw, into the forest, and you put glue over it. A fox will come, see the artificial fox, and say, "Hello, good evening, Mrs. Fox." But the fox doesn't answer. "Silent this evening, Mrs. Fox?" Then the fox goes and comes close to this artificial fox, this imitation of fox, and immediately sticks to the fox and is caught. This is how the soul enters the world. It sees the material world and begins to identify with something which is not the soul, with material desires, and it comes close to the material representation, to the body and the mind, and gets stuck with it and cannot move away from it. A person who loses his real self-identification or self-identity, a person who loses his self-identity as pure spiritual soul and begins to identify with a false representation, the body and the mind, becomes captured by the many desires, which is like glue, and in this way leads a very dangerous life. So, says Krishna, by the sword of knowledge, cut yourself from this false identification with the body and mind. Understand that you are my eternal servant, and in this way you will overcome the miseries of material existence. Now, I do not clearly remember if I have given already in one of my classes last year a short analysis of the psychology of Sigmund Freud. If I have done so, I see new faces in the audience, and those who have heard this part already will, I believe, very much benefit from hearing this. In modern psychology, a great awareness is put on the question of how you should deal with your desires. Modern psychology has the understanding that if you have desires which you constantly suppress, these desires will come up into your life in a hidden way and cause great damage to you. Neuroses and so on and so forth. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology in the Western world, before the Indian sages, this had already developed a spirit, psychology based on the existence of the soul, the mind, and the body. Sigmund Freud and the West was not aware of this and developed their own psychology, which, if you will hear it, will sound very logical. If you think about it, you will find that you have, maybe if you have received modern education, unconsciously accepted some of it. Let me, after having explained to you just a little bit of the Vedic psychology, that we are a soul who have identified with a material mind and body, and therefore experience the glue of desires which bind us to this material world. After having said so much, let me present to you the Western psychology as good as I can in half an hour. About 15 minutes. And let me totally shock you. This part which will come now will be dangerous for all those who do not think independently. But it will be highly rewarding for everyone who tries to understand and analyze this. Sigmund Freud said that there are really German school now. Hare Krishna. Yes. You have avoided misery, the misery of the lecture giver, but it will come to him at another time. Sigmund Freud said that there are really three layers of our personality. One is called the S. In English, this is a German word, in English it's the it. It stands for the subconsciousness. Consciousness. The subconsciousness is everything which is hidden in the dark and unknown areas of your personality. That you dream, sometimes images come out of the subconsciousness, almost like water bubbles which come from underneath, from inside a pond, and sometimes cause a bad smell. What he says is a fact. I think we all know this. Sometimes in dreams we think about things which are not made for publication in the Hare Krishna newspaper. Sometimes whilst we are walking over the street, all of a sudden a thought enters into our mind which is not scientific at all, and so on. In this area, which is the irrational part of our personality, many things are hidden which come up during dreams or even in extreme situations when we are under tremendous stress and in great and we feel aggression and revenge and such things. Now there's another part which Freud calls the ich, in English the ego. Which Freud calls Kreuze über ich. I'm sorry, you have to hear three German words today, because he was an Austrian. But then I will not bother you any longer with this impossible language. The über ich is something like the over self, and it is the ratio of all those impressions which society teaches us. Society tells us you must be a good boy, well behaved, you must dress in dhoti, and go and say every day Om Jagajagaji Jaya Jagaji Shahare, and you must go to the mandir or the churches and so on. These things are allowed and these things are forbidden. Behave like a decent person. Education. Public opinion, society. So now between this, what comes from underneath, the desires, the emotions, and do this, don't do this. In between is what Freud called the ich, or the ego. Often, this person in between is in a great state of misery. Why? Because there are desires coming from here, but suppressions coming from here. No, this is not allowed. No, you cannot eat non-veg. No, you cannot drink. No, you cannot go to the this or to the that. And he says, because the ordinary person is under a constant pressure between his desires on one side and the things he is supposed to do on the other side, this pressure creates explosions, mistakes, stress, which are problems. For one moment, I will now move away from the Vyasa-san. This is not a Vyasa-san, it is Asan. So, and share it with the Sigmund Freud. Now, Satchidananda Swami is not speaking for about 5 minutes. I have to make it very clear. Sigmund Freud is speaking. My dear audience, religion is a real problem. Because there are so many injunctions and rules and regulations in religion which are telling a person what to do. And therefore, it is often seen that religious people develop very severe cases of neuroses and problems. Especially you in India. Everyone knows what the Indian public wants to see in cinema. But because of all these Vedic teachings, it is not allowed to show what they want to see. So many of the Asiatic people who have too much of restrictions imposed upon them are developing as very disturbed personalities. I'm not speaking. Greatly offensive. I also feel how Prabhupada is only, Srila Prabhupada is only prepared to give Sigmund Freud another 2 minutes and then he will. Let me explain to you my picture of the human person and how to deal with desires for a moment. Suppose, dear ladies and gentlemen, there is a hall in which I give my lecture. Out in the corridor, there are ruffians who want to come in to the lecture hall and disturb. Most probably, some of my friends would close the door, lean against it, so that the ruffians would not come in.
However, they would call more and more people, pressure against the door, the pressure would become bigger and bigger, and finally the door would slam open, and they would come in, and there would be no possibility to continue with the lecture. This is how a person's consciousness is, who constantly suppresses his material, his desires. They want to come from the corridor, that is, from the subconsciousness, into his awareness and into his life. But the restrictions which he has heard from religion or society or mom and dad are pressuring against it. After some time, however, these desires become so strong that they overtake the whole personality. I have heard this has happened in your Hare Krishna movement. Some sannyasis have pressured their personality so much into being something which they really didn't want to be, that finally it made an explosion and a whole unwanted situation appeared in their lives. It is not me who is speaking, it is Sigmund Freud. We will defeat him after only 1 more minute. I have to make this very clear so that no one is misunderstanding me. Therefore, listen to my solution. Sigmund Freud says, why suppress desires? Admit they are there. Let them come into your life one by one. Open the door a little bit and let them come in. You can deal with them, because if you keep them out, they will increase in strength and in numbers and then explode into your life, and you will be finished. Thank you very much for giving me a class. My airplane goes now. I have to deliver a lecture in New York where everyone will believe me very much. I do not know how you believe me. Goodbye. So now, Sachinanda Swami is back on the seat. What do you think about what he said? Tell you exactly what Krishna says. So this, the first verse which Krishna speaks, you will all get the shock of your life. It is interesting, isn't it? A person, I think we can follow, who suppresses things which are in his mind too long, undergoes the danger of living in a pressure cooker, and that it is not healthy. So Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, addresses this question, and it seems if we listen to him, 31, it seems when we listen to his first verse, he fully endorses Sigmund Freud's psychology. Listen to this. Sadrisham chashtate svasya prakriti janavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraham king karasyati. Even a man of knowledge acts only according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? He seems to say that repression is not good. However, let us continue to listen. Krishna also endorses that we should let our material desires come one by one into our lives and fulfill them. This is what he says. Then he says, but there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. It should not come under the control of such attachments and aversion, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So Krishna says, repression is not good, but if you follow your attachments, you will find stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. And a little later, he explains how it is dangerous if we follow our lusty desires. He says, Avritam jnanametena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kunteya dushpuranena lena cham. The wise living entities, pure consciousness, becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. With this simple analogy, Krishna severely attacks the possibility of the instructions of Sigmund Freud. He says, material desires are like fire, which can never be satisfied if you deal with them. Let us give an example. Let me say, for an experiment's sake, my dear fire, this evening we are all in a mood of experiment. We give you this table to devour. No, you cannot take. I will just take my Uddhava Gita away and give it to Shamba before, and then I will burn it. Will the fire say, after he has eaten the table, enough, thank you? No, he will get to the seat. He will get to his head. He will burn your vivek and your nice western shirt and pants. And the fire, if it is not stopped, will consume this room, the whole tower, and if not stopped, will burn all of Bombay and the rest of India and the world, if not stopped. You cannot deal with a fire. Fire will never be satisfied. In the same way, it does not work that you take a material desire and try to satisfy it, because the moment you take it, it manifests in two. Have you seen these movies when Rama finally confronted Ravan, and each time he cut off one of his head, two were growing? There must be many versions of this in the Bombay film industry, because it's so shocking. This is how material desires are. You satisfy one, and then it has already become two. It is double as strong. Therefore Krishna says, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transforms into wrath. Means lust, when it is not satisfied, you're angry. Why did I do this? And I'm not even satisfied. Which is the all-devouring entity and enemy of the world. Then he says, gives a tip. I'm jumping a little. Tasvamtam Indian Yado. Therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning. In the very beginning. Ado means the beginning. Curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, he doesn't say, give in to it, try to satisfy it, so that you don't will not develop a neurosis. He says, in the beginning, you must do something against it. Maybe Jiva Goswami Prabhu, you can extinguish this, or you can do it. Krishna later describes two things which a devotee should do as from here the material desires come up. He says, Abhyasa must be done and Vairagya. Abhyasa means constant practice, and Vairagya means detachment. The force of desire is like a river which can create danger, but these two things are the embankments, the dams of this river, of this force which comes from the subconsciousness. And if you use it properly, if you build it properly, the force of this desire can be used. We have been in Ahovalam doing this pilgrimage to India, and from there visited Sri Shailam. I believe, Maharaj, you have also been there in Ahovalam, not yet, but I believe you were preaching in Hyderabad at one stage. It is about 400 kilometers from Hyderabad. We landed there and went in the direction of Bangalore. I do not know it so well on the car. So in Sri Shailam, there's a Jyotirlinga, and there's the Krishna Veni, the Krishna River, is kept in a lake, and then the water is taken out, it is directed, and it is used to drive the turbines for maybe 60% of the electricity of Andhra, I was informed, so in an electrical powerhouse. In other words, when you can use the drive of your desire and direct them in the right way, not fulfill them, but direct them in the right way, they can become tremendously useful in your life. They can create electricity, the electricity of life. But you need to build the two dams, just like electricity uses them. Abhyasa, you need constant spiritual practice on one side. Abhyasa means practice, and Vairagya means you need some form of detachment which is relevant to your own position in life. As a grihastha, you will practice a different sort of detachment than a brahmachari. As a very advanced brahmachari, you might take a different form of detachment than a younger brahmachari. In the beginning, we tell to all the devotees, eat as much as you can. My assistant preaches like this to me during this Ayurvedic therapy. But suppose when you get older, you should not stop yourself, even with prasadam, because it might agitate the mind and the senses. So there are different forms of detachment according to whatever it is where you are on. Maybe one of our guests, we will tell them, please only smoke one packet of cigarettes a day. Please do this detachment. But we will not say that, because previously he used to smoke three packages of cigarettes a day. Do we have such people in India? Maybe three packages is a little bit too much. I mean, unless there are chains, if they're called chain smokers, they easily do it. But if we would say to you, please smoke only one packet of cigarette, it would not be detachment on your level. For you it is no cigarettes, only sweet box, please. So any one of us must practice these two things so that the desires will not just sweep us away. Someone who has never learned to say no to irrational desires, who is a slave to his mind and senses, will be washed away by the force of desires. You need this then. But you cannot control desires if you do not have a spiritual practice intact, a life which is fulfilling you. These two things are important, so that you can direct it. Narottamdas Thakur speaks in one of his songs about the psychology of using the force of desire in a directed way. He said, lust and observance on Krishna. Sorry, I'm being a little enthusiastic. I when you're preaching the list, you have to. I will become a little bit more shanty now. It's not the best. I'm sorry, I'm thinking always I'm in a German university or so. Last, I will engage in the Lord's service by becoming lusty to do service. Like all of you young, active, dynamic men and women, do something with your energy for Krishna. Do something. Let it go out. Greed. I might re-engage. I'm always trying to hear more about this transcendental philosophy. I will be greedy to listen about Krishna. I'm very fallen. I will never make it. I'm so fallen. I know I will make it by Krishna's mercy. But this is my illusion which I will engage in. It will drive me on to look for more and more. So he says how he can, how he uses every anger. I will use the Prakshipatmika Shakti. This identification with the material body comes, like Krishna says, and covers our true knowledge. And then, immediately from this false covering, the pulling force of desires come, which bring you and bring you even away against your better knowledge. This is a dramatic situation about it. So, Maya is a dark energy of the Lord, and it can be, how do you say, dissolved. Dissolved is a good word. If Krishna, her master, appears, in the Bhagavatam it is said that when Vyasadeva first saw Krishna, he saw the Lord, and a little bit in the distance, under full control, the material energy. Just like when there is the sun, darkness cannot stay. Darkness is under the full control of the sun. Maya cannot stand before its master, Krishna. So, transformation process is good, but better even is if you contact Krishna directly through the process of Shravana and Kirtana, hearing about him, and seeing his glories. Because the moment you do this, Krishna, who's the super soul in your heart, becomes pleased with you. And he takes his, Jiva Goswami says, he takes his toll. And he stops the material desires coming from subconsciousness, coming from many lives, in fact. These are sanskaras, which we have carried as our subtle baggage through lives and lives. He stops them. It's almost like if you have a hole and water comes, if the transcendental feet, lotus toe of the Lord steps on it, no problem. So Krishna manifests in the life of a devotee who properly hears and chants about him. Properly, what does this mean? Properly means with full attention. If you do not hear with attention, the sound vibration will not be so active. You must give it full attention. It is a sacrifice of your attention which you must give. Otherwise, the sound vibration will not really act. But if you do, the Lord becomes manifested in the heart. And sincere devotees have seen this. When they come together and do kirtan, all of a sudden it feels differently. Isn't it? And after a nice kirtan. Or when devotees hear about Krishna directly. Today we have talked about psychology of the self, but we have not really heard directly about Krishna. But in our little Ayurvedic team, two members of the team, we always read about the qualities of Krishna directly. We have heard that Krishna makes a jubilant festival today. This is what we have heard. Of the Rasa dance, where he expands himself and dances. You know, if you hear about him directly, Krishna's leelas, Krishna's qualities, the Lord will manifest. Have you not also, every one of you, seen this sometimes when you come to a lecture, to a pravachan or a kirtan? After some time, you feel relieved. Have you? That's most probably why we come. When it's absolutely boring, the class, we are so frustrated because it did not happen, the experience which we had come for. Hare Krishna. It does happen. It happens. What can we do? We are not Srila Prabhupada. That's why we go to the temple, to experience this effect that the Lord comes. And just maybe that we go before the deities and the deity just once looks at us and we feel, oh, now my life is something worth. I was such a fool before I came. Why didn't I see? Why didn't I act properly? And then we go out and we are strong and Maya, no thank you. You know, and we are going like that. Isn't it our experience?
Yes.
So let us not follow Sigmund Freud. He is a poor conditioned soul who at the end of his life wrote a letter to one princess in England. He said he developed a strong disease and it said, my life is misery, misery. I'm in an ocean, I'm on an island, surrounded by an ocean of pain. That is painful. Cancer of the jaw. Maybe because he smoked too much. He was a chain smoker. He let the material desire in one by one and through the door. And it finally destroyed him totally. We shall pray to him and wish him all the best, wherever he may be at this moment. His philosophy, unfortunately, is very much alive and well in the Western world and in the minds of many human beings. He is dead, but he was the father of Western psychology, which strongly influences the modern thought. It's on the posters in Bombay. Don't repress anything, let it come out. We are now going to be also like Westerners. It's strongly there. And therefore, I thought I would give him a fair hearing. Try to represent him as good as possible without interrupting him and say, enough! Out! So that you can understand. And next time you are confronted with this, oh, you're not allowed to do this and that, Something dangerous will happen with you. Let it all out. Express yourself. So that is not realistic, this philosophy. Thank you very much for listening. We will end here. Hopefully Jiva Goswami will again invite me. Maybe it was too unusual what I did today. Present something and so on. I will here ask if you do have any questions. If I can understand that some of you, it might be late and you have a busy day, please feel free to go and take rest. But I will take one or two questions. Hare Krishna.
Good morning. You were explaining about a devotee has to go through a spiritual test.
Yes.
So the thing is, sometimes he may fail to do, means overcome about it. So what is the next step we should do forward here? if they fail to pass in that test. So what is the next situation?
Yes. When a devotee fails a test in his or her life, a devotee should be happy. Krishna is explaining like this. He should think, I know that material sense gratification will ultimately lead to misery. But out of ignorance and weakness, I have again done this mistake. However, I have confidence and firm faith that just by continuing to serve Krishna and hear about him, slowly the Lord will give me his mercy. A devotee, in other words, should not become depressed. A devotee instead should be confident that he is on the right process, and sooner or later the process will take effect. However, if the devotee rationalize, oh, I can do anything, I'm on the right path, let me sin a little bit here, I'm sinning here, I'm sinning there, and in this way, under the name of being a devotee, break spiritual principles, then he is the worstest of fools, and he may lose the mercy of the Lord. Only if accidentally something happens to him, he should, the Lord will understand. Yatha shadhana katha shu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukatmakam kamam parichage pyanishvale. The Lord says, having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Feel sorry that you made a mistake. Analyze, where did the mistake happen? Maybe you had too much non-devotee association and you talk too loose. Maybe you did too much prajalpa on the prajalpa sofa. Maybe too much politics you heard. Maybe this or that. And then next time the situation appears, you know how to act.
So does this also mean that it stops, in the future it stops the reactions of the previous activities?
Yes. Krishna says, when an intelligent person engages in hearing about me and worshipping me, his heart will become firmly situated in me. Thus all material desires in the heart will be destroyed. It's all Uddhava Gita. It's so good. You must be very careful. As soon as you do this with a motive, I can sing, I'm chanting, then everything will be gone. It's an offense. But repent if you do something wrong, fail a test, and the Lord will help you. This is what he says, Uddhava Gita. Everything is in the Uddhava Gita. Hare Krishna. A devotee even prays like this: by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. And then the devotee expresses his determination. He says, here, I will never give up my devotional service to him, even if the Lord places millions of obstacles on my path. And
And even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. By such a devotee, very quickly the Lord says, come to me, my dear devotee. Don't worry. I take care. It's my maya. I will say, stop. She will stop. Good, huh? You feel relieved, I can see. Yes. You really feel so relieved. Yeah. Any other question? Philosophy, you should have really, or if you listen to a lecture, I would recommend to you three questions. First of all, ask yourself why you're here. What does he say? What is said here? First of all, collect the information. Just listen. Receive. Then, what does this mean? The third is, how can I apply it in my own life? This is how you actively listen with attention. What does it say? What does this mean? Ooh, it has an implication on my life. Ooh, what does this mean? Today we talked about suppressing desires. The suppression of desires. Does this have something to do with me? I mean, I'm also sometimes a pressure cooker. Psychologists have found out, a doctor in Germany does iris diagnosis. Do you know what this is? There's a microscope, it is held before the iris. Do you know what the iris is? I hope I have the right English word. It is the iris. Show you. Please do not laugh at my immature attempts for painting. This is the eye. The eyelid. This is called the black spot. Is called the Abaduta. Pupil, and this, it goes like this. This is the iris. Okay, so there's a certain type of doctor who takes a microscope and looks at this part, and everything which happens in your body shows in this iris. For instance, when your liver is malfunctioning, there's some spot which will come up here. Maybe I do not know where it will come up, but somewhere. If your circulatory system is blocked, something will show up here. And when your mind, when you are inside, not very stable, but a little upset and thin nerves, that there is almost nervous flickering in the eye. Almost like, imagine when the electricity is very weak, it goes like it makes you nervous when you sit under this light. So this devotee, this is a devotee doctor, he one day came to me in private and said, Maharaj, I have a question which I do not dare to ask to anyone. I have looked into many devotees' eyes with my machine and seen, and some of them is a flickering there. According to my knowledge, it means they have so many desires, but they push them inside, and this creates a tremendous pressure in them. According according to my... But maybe I'm making an offense, Maharaj. I do not want to make Vaishnava aparad. Never, never, never. But this is my diagnosis, what I have learned. Now, as a preacher who sometimes sees many people a day, new people, and also devotees who live in the temple, and who tries to help in Krishna consciousness, I know that he is right. There are devotees who are not yet on the transcendental platform, and therefore, because they are attached to them, identified with body and mind, they are identified with the desires, and they are unhappy in their Krishna consciousness. But I'm telling them, well, don't see the devotees like you see a materialist. The devotee may sometimes go down a little bit in his consciousness, but when he is in the kirtan and in the lecture and in devotional service, he's alright. You may see them when they are sick, that's why they come to you, and where they become a little bit more drawn by the bodily platform and so on. But should help them spiritually, then they are alright when they dance in the kirtan, the prasad, have good association. I'm sorry, I may have been carried away from your original question, so I will remember your question now. Krishna manifests in the heart, especially by Shravan and Kirtana. Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hrityantasto Shabadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. It says, by hearing about Krishna, the Lord Paramatma becomes manifest in the heart and removes all the inauspicious things from the heart. And your question was what? The most important thing is really attention. In anything which you do, when you see the deities, Lord Krishna in the Uddhava Gita says how we should see the deities. We should come before the deities and pray. My dear Lord, please protect me. I am trying to surrender to you. I am greatly afraid of material existence because I'm standing in the mouth of death. He can bite. That is your funeral ceremony. So before this time, please protect me. Constantly, you know. This is the prayer which Lord Krishna gives. If you want to learn this prayer, you will find it in the 11th canto, 27th chapter. Why don't we say it all together? What do you think? Are you ready? We will make a little spiritual sound vibration here. Prapanam Pahimam Isha Bitam Mrityu Grahanavat. O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existing, standing as I am in the mouth of death. See, 11th canto, chapter 27, verse number 46, second half. Attention in whatever you do. When you see the deities, you know, bring your mind with you. You might have to train your mind a little bit. Why don't you do it like this? It helps very much. Go to the deity and remember what was the dress of the deity.
When someone asks you, how was Radha Rasa Vihari dressed today? Oh, it was colorful. Some flowers. He smiled. There was a crown. Yeah, but this is everyday, Prabhu. We were asking today. This is how you can train your mind to think of Krishna. Isn't it an interesting practice? When you remember a person, you remember how he is dressed. I mean, usually it's not difficult to remember a brahmachari because it's every day the same, or less. Or maybe sometimes there's a difference between long sleeve kurtas and short sleeve kurtas, but that's the only difference. But usually when you see, like I remember Shambhu today is dressed in dhoti, yesterday not. There's a difference, a distinct difference. So, and I remember, I can see you have a remarkable red shirt on today. You know, so this is how we remember a person. We say sometimes, what was the name of this man with the red shirt? We remember the remarkable dress. Oh, I remarked your particular well-styled Western shirt, you know, and so on. So why shouldn't we remember Radha Rasa Vihari's dress? He's described in the Nectar of Devotion as a particular, I don't remember the English word just now, as a very peculiar dresser. Krishna has in Vrindavan a four-piece dress, a turban, a shirt which looks like glowing copper, a yellow dhoti which looks like a flesh. It especially makes a nice contrast to his beautiful sapphire-like bodily effulgence, and a multicolored sash around the dhoti, a belt. Four pieces: turban, shirt, dhoti, and belt. Then he has also sridhas, mukut, a scarf, pitambar, and then usually the yellow dhoti that he keeps this, because it reminds that this dhoti reminds him very much of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. So he always keeps that dhoti. He never changes the color of the dhoti. He will always stick to the yellow dhoti. The yellow means flesh, like flesh. So we can remember Radharani Vihari's dresses. Start a little bit to oil our dull brains. So attention, in anything you do, hearing, listening, that's how you can receive, that's the right mood. The other mood is called utkanta. Utkanta means, the English translation is eagerness, but utkanta means the neck, and ut means out of your neck. You, like when you are very eager, you, prasham, you know, you go utkanta, means a lot of eagerness. Pizza prasharam, or rasagula prasharam, you know, you go out of your neck with great eagerness. This is how you need to, this is the mood, utkanta, eagerness. No, I don't care. It's boring. We read so many times the Bhagavata and so on. So many times the morning program. Why did I do this mistake? and it's glory to come to Mangal Arati every day. You know, there must be some utkanta, some eagerness. Hare Krishna. All right. I thank you very much for your kind attention. All the best for your spiritual lives. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gauri Dai ki jai. Sisi Radha Rasa Vihari ji ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go.